Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Baselli.
Color analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Baselli.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Baselli.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, good evening and welcome in to Jaguars This Week. Live from Everbank Field, I'm Brian Sexton. Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli, John Osher, the whole gang is here. Phone number 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Kind of a busy week around here, huh?
A little bit.
Just when you thought maybe it'd slow down a little bit, get quiet like it normally does in February, no such luck.
Well, Tony keeps on drawing people in for Team Teal events.
Keeps things alive. That was Monday night, right?
Monday night.
Big Team Teal event.
Kicked it off.
And then the other thing that I think big news that certainly came around here was the incentive package for season ticket holders to referrals.
Refer a fan.
And then also the Jaguars got a new president.
Sure. New president.
You know, Mark Lamping is coming to captain the ship, so to speak. So it's exciting around the building now.
A lot going on, that's for sure. A lot of change. The theme of change continues, and bring a new president in. I haven't met him. I don't know if anyone else has.
No.
Excited to meet him and see what his vision is. My guess is it's got to be in step with Shad's vision. Shad hired him. And I think it's exciting. A lot of momentum, a lot of good things going on. Like you said, Logie, we kicked Team Teal off and refer a fan. And as we continue, as the organization continues to engage the fan base and strengthen that relationship, whether it's the in-season or off-season.
You know, this week when I got the email that Mark Lamping was named Jaguars president, you know, and read the bio that came out and with the email and stuff, and so, you know, you always want to kind of get a second opinion, I guess you could say. So I made a phone call, a friend of mine that has a little bit of history in St. Louis, and I said, hey, what do you know about Mark Lamping? He said, well, I don't really know a whole lot, but I'll make a phone call and find out. He called me back today, and he said glowing things about Mark Lamping. And he said that everything that you've read about how he helped build a franchise to garner, I guess you could say, regional support, is all true. He was a huge part of that and had nothing bad to say about Mark Lamping.
So, I've got a lot of family in St. Louis. They're all St. Louis Cardinals season ticket holders, and they echo the same thing because of the quality of the stadium and the quality of the experience. And that really is. That's not a football town. That's a baseball town. And to go in to St. Louis where the Cardinals are king.
They're king now.
Well, they have been forever. I mean, that's.
But, I mean,
oh, it's a baseball
yeah,
town.
Yeah, but, Brian, through. I mean, prior to
18
to
World Series championships?
Yeah, but prior to the 80s, did they have that reach that extended all the way through the Midwest?
Well, I mean, not as big as it was, no.
Yeah, because, but, I mean, now you're talking about
but
much,
it was
much like, you know,
Southern Illinois.
When you look at
St. Louis.
Know, before you had expansion with the Carolina Panthers and the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Redskins fan base reached all the way down here to Florida.
Right. Well, they reached east. They didn't go west. I mean, they reached into Kentucky, and they had their affiliates in Southern Illinois and Louisville Cardinals. And they had
they've always done that, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, they've had a pretty good – he's obviously – he helped take it to
the level. Yeah, he took it there at a level, yeah.
Well, don't forget, this is a guy who for the last 4 years has essentially worked for two teams at once in New York. That's not easy.
Imagine that.
You know, in trying
to build
–
he built that stadium
right.
And got it branded and got it
– and answering to two different teams, both of whom I'm sure had different – points of view on things, and they both had glowing things to say about him. So, I mean, I think this is a guy who definitely, as I wrote this morning, I don't think you can question that he's a good guest.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. Guy's experience, has a great resume, he's been successful, and which is good. That's the type of guy you want to come help, as
well,
John has said, the rebirth of the franchise.
And we'll have more to say on him once we get to know him.
I haven't met him,
But in a new era, somebody needs to set down the guiding principles. Someone needs to set down the mission statement. Someone needs to say, this is how we do things.
And every day.
Right, exactly.
Someone has
on
to
ring
somebody
has
to
on
set,
an operational
set,
level.
Has
set
to
the tone.
Set the tone, and that comes from the owner, Shad Khan. But then, like Tony said, there has to be somebody on a day-to-day basis that's going to be able to implement those principles that were established from the owner.
Yep.
And so this is good. I mean, this is really good. So I'm excited to see kind of how this all, you know, sets out. You know, and this, to
when
me,
he gets
this
here
is exciting.
In 2 weeks?
First
February 27th.
Yeah, 27th, okay. I think, is when he's
officially supposed Monday,
to start.
2 weeks from Monday, this past Monday.
So he's excited about the market. He's excited about, you know, living in Jacksonville. So, I mean, it's all good. I mean, it's, I, you know, for a long period of time, and I, look, I'm not here to criticize anybody, but for a long time, there's been a frustration level in this building. And I think it impacted the performance that this organization has been able to have. And I think that this right here is exactly what the doctor ordered.
One, in a sense, it's back to one voice.
Yes. Back to one voice, right. When one voice worked for this franchise.
Yes, and it worked very well.
Worked very well.
Right. And they haven't had it around here in a long time, and we had the three-headed monster for a couple of years there. With Jack and
well, it's
Jack
still, it's still
and
gonna
Paul
be a,
and
it's still.
I mean, I know it's Gene on the football
yeah,
side.
It's still,
two
I mean, yeah, there's still two voices.
But look, I mean, you got to have somebody that sets the ground rules, the mission statement on this side of the hall.
Oh, agree.
All the
no,
work
no, no,
needs
no.
To
and
be done.
I think. Listen, I think it's great. I think it's the right thing. I mean, I think it's somebody needs to drive the ship every day.
Well, and most importantly, expanding the fan base. You're talking the owner, Shaq Khan, had said. Reconnect with the fans. Mm-hmm. How many years ago was it, and how many radio affiliates did the Jaguars radio network, you know, how far did it used to reach? I mean,
in the early days, we had 40 stations.
They went down to Port St. Lucie, went up to South Carolina, went out as far as Dothan.
We were Dothan, Alabama.
We had 34 stations.
We were in Columbus, Georgia at one point, which is, you know, Wayne's hometown. I mean, we had a good, solid reach when you consider that you have a couple of other teams. You know, you have the Dolphins to the south, and you have to the southwest, you have Tampa, and you've got, when you get to the Panhandle, you've got New Orleans. But we were in Pensacola, we were in Fort Walton Beach. I mean, we were in every city along the way. And
that has to happen again.
It's eroded, absolutely. But, you know, you talk about, and I think reconnecting with the fans and expanding the fan base are obviously two separate things. But we used to get up in the early years to South Carolina, you know, every offseason, and we'd do a big event, be 2 or 3 days. Mm-hmm. We'd go to Orlando, 2 or 3 days in Orlando. We had a traveling caravan, and we went around all of this area.
And when Lamping spoke to the media yesterday, that was one of his talking points, was expanding the regional footprint. You know, I've gotten a lot of emails concerned, oh, he's from St. Louis, when the Rams move, this means he's going. I mean, that's been a trend.
St. Louis is not
football. That's not the theme here. The theme here is when he talks about the regional footprint, he is being brought in to sort of bring that St. Louis Cardinals model and bring it to a place where theoretically that model ought to work.
Well, I tell you this. I spent some time in Orlando in the offseason. I've got friends down there. And the Jaguars have almost no presence there. And yet the whole east side of Orlando is 132 miles in. So there's a lot of people down
right
there that would drive. I'll tell you this. And I'm from Kansas, and the Chiefs draw a strong base from Omaha, Des Moines, and Wichita, all of which are greater than 132 miles away.
How about Green Bay?
Yeah.
I mean, they come
from
all over the state.
Milmilwaukee's 90 miles, yeah. Absolutely.
Denver's the same way.
Yeah.
Had 114 affiliates in Dallas.
Hayes, Kansas, 114. Too.
114.
Who does?
Dallas.
Dallas Cowboys.
Going up through Oklahoma.
Oh, well, they go down into Mexico. And
yes.
Arizona. Yeah. I mean, they reach far. I mean,
that's a national brand.
That's what something has. That's the type of thing that has to happen again here. And take it above and beyond where it was.
Well, and you can reach a lot of places now because of the broadcast on the internet and tune in radio on people's phones. But the one thing I think they've got to do, and we said it to Con one night when he was in here, and that is that you've got to get out on the road, and not just broadcasters, but you got to put a player on that bus, and you got to go around, and you've got to go see those cities.
Road trip.
You bet.
Tony, you still got that RV?
No RV. I'll buy one, though.
You mean Team Teal doesn't have an RV ready to roll?
Better than buy one. I don't really want to buy one. I will borrow one.
Okay.
Well, Randy Goodwin's got a big one that's painted that's out there in the...
I'll take that thing.
What do they call that? The Pepsi Plaza out there.
Who's driving?
Teal Town.
Me.
You're driving?
Oh, I love driving those things. We will go on the road, and we'll be out for a while. It'll be a good time.
I remember the Pittsburgh playoff game in 2007.
I drove up.
Yeah, I remember.
I'll be your navigator.
It's fine.
I went out for a run the morning of the game. And I saw this big RV kind of
parked right next to the William Penn.
Yeah, but it was kind of like taking up all the parking spaces in a tight area. No one could get around it. I run into Buscelli in the restaurant. I said, "Did you see that thing out there?" He goes, "Yeah, I drove it.
I drove it up."
I said, "Of course you did.
That's how I roll, baby."
Of course you did. All right, hey, we've reached our first stopping point of the evening. Let's break. We'll return with more Jaguars this week right after this on Jaguars Radio. Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. How long till free agency?
What about?
March 13th. It's about 28
days?
27 days.
And There's some names out there, some tantalizing names.
Some names out there right
now. You mean in terms of players who are free?
Well, yeah, Stanford Rout, the corner that we were talking about during the commercial break, is a starting caliber cornerback that's available now. He was released by the Raiders. Randy Moss is out there. He's available.
He is a name.
Tony's a big fan of Randy Moss.
Guys, he hasn't played for two
But he is
years.
A name.
Yeah. Okay, great.
He has a name.
I got you know, there's a lot of names I could give you that can't play.
He is a name.
And then we will have, I think people are expecting Peyton Manning to be out there before the actual.
Have you paid attention to the
back and forth of Jim Irsay?
The poker game being played between Jim Irsay and Peyton Manning right now?
Yes.
Irsay today said, "Listen, we'd love to have Peyton back. It's going to be up to him." Basically saying, you know, because Peyton has come out through his people that he'll give an incentive-laden deal for other teams based on his health. And basically Irsay said, "Great.
We'll take that
We'll
too.
Take that too."
Yeah. Right.
And so
it's funny because
it's going to get ugly there.
Because, you know, you don't know what to believe. I mean, there's so many different reports that are coming out about Peyton Manning, about his strength level. And now there's reports coming out that there were more surgeries that haven't been reported yet. How many surgeries has it been reported that he's had so far? Is it three?
At this point, four with the new report today.
The new report today says four. And the report that came out today that said he's had four, that there are some that are going to be possibly occurring in the near future.
Right. You ever know anybody that had their back fused? Lower. Not the upper neck for vertebrae, but lower vertebrae in their back.
In the back, no.
I have a friend who, he's in his 60s, and he was telling me the other day that doctors told him after he had his back fused, vertebrae fused, like Peyton did in the neck, that he was never supposed to lift more than 25 pounds again. So now you're talking about fusing vertebrae in the neck, and you wonder, how are you going to take that kind of abuse?
Well, he was cleared by his doctors.
Right.
There's been a few football players that have had a fusion in the neck that were fullbacks and continued to play. Darrell Johnson was one of them, and there was one other one. I can't think of the name of the other fullback, but there was two guys that I know of that had neck fusions and continued to play.
Maybe it's a completely different thing, but it seems to me like fusing neck vertebrae and playing football
but,
at 35.
When you have something like that happen, then you have future issues with the joints that are above and below the fusion. You know, so, but I mean, clearly, if Peyton Manning is back, I mean, he could be the biggest free agent in the history of the NFL if he can play at the level that he has been playing at.
But if he can play at a high level, then No, you're right. I almost feel sorry for the Colts in the position that they are in. I mean, it is a no. I actually think Irsay's ploy is the right one, saying, "Listen, we want him back if he will give us the same deal he's giving everyone else."
Yeah, I don't feel that sorry for the Colts.
You know what I mean, though. I mean, it's a no-win situation.
No, it is. It is, but
I heard someone talking about it today on the radio. You'd almost be better off just, if you're Jim Irsay, say, "Listen, we're cutting. It's over. We're moving on. We're rebuilding. We're going with the young quarterback. We got a new coach. We're so thankful for everything.
Manager.
New general manager. We're so thankful for everything that Peyton Manning's done for us. But it's time for us just to."
That's a hard thing because Jim really, really deep down never envisioned this scenario.
Right.
No, in his ideal world, he was going to hang on to Peyton until the last dog was dead. And it was going to be his Elway, his guy. And it's a hard thing to let go of because, you know, whatever else you say about Jim, he loves that franchise and he loved the idea of having that. So it's a hard breakup for him.
Did you ever envision, because John, you spent time obviously with the Colts.
Sure.
Did you ever envision that it would get to this point, the acrimony between owner and quarterback?
Well, you don't envision it because it's hard to envision that before it happens. But both of those guys, you know, I have a lot of respect for Peyton Manning, but Peyton, like most players, very loyal to the Colts. The only thing he's loyal to more than the Colts is Peyton Manning. So he's going to do what's best for him, and there is no loyalty on that level in the NFL. There can't be. So I didn't anticipate it, but when you saw it happen with Favre in Green Bay, you knew that at some point anything can happen. And people, anybody who says it can't happen with Brady in New England, the same situation, if it happened with Brady in New England, would go the same way. When the player wants to play and the team, for whatever reason, wants to give up on him before the player's done, it's going to happen. So, no, you never anticipated because he was so tightly associated with the franchise, but it's still professional football.
How much money has Peyton Manning made in his career, do you suppose? 13 years. I mean, as a former player, both of you guys.
What do you think?
Probably about 150.
Yeah, I'd say 150, and that's not even counting, obviously, the endorsements.
No, that's just on field. 150. Probably 150 on field.
But, again, with Peyton,
you think his off-the-field dwarfs that?
Oh,
I don't think so.
No.
Football players never make as much off the field as
he makes good money off the
but
field.
He hasn't made another 150 off the field. No. I'd be shocked if he
did Gatorade for it. I mean, he did a lot of commercials for a long time.
Yeah, I forgot the Gatorade. But 100, man, maybe. God bless him if he did. He made a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about dwarf. I know it dwarfs what John Osher made.
Well, you just said the way you said it, dwarfed his on the field. I don't think he made double.
Right.
Well, the point is that he was his biggest star in terms of off the field as a football player.
Right.
For a seven or eight year period
there, you really couldn't turn on the TV, even
Visa.
Yeah. I mean,
Gatorade. What else has he got?
And, he was tied in with some big companies.
Yeah.
Well, I guess my point is at what point does somebody
he's
say
fine.
Him?
Oh, with him.
It's not about the money for him. It's about the competitiveness.
And I agree. But it's not about the money. He wants to play football. But how about it's not about the money? You want to be able to walk. I mean, you understand what life.
Yeah,
after
but
football.
I don't care. I go back and play again if we could.
Yeah, but
one way it is.
Would
for
you
Peyton
do it if you
the
thought
money.
There was a chance that you wouldn't be able to walk?
You don't think that way though when you're playing.
Well, when you're 36 years old,
I did.
I never did.
When you're 36 years old and you've got more money in the bank than you could ever imagine, at some point does that come in?
But if the doctors are telling you you're cleared,
funny,
no.
You know, it's funny, Tony, that you never got to that point, but you would have.
Well, I'm sure I would have, but I never did. My point is, though, you wouldn't get to that point if the doctors are telling you you're cleared to play. There's no significant risk out there.
And with Peyton Manning, I mean, holy cow. I mean, the rest of his body's fine.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, this is the one thing that's kind of keeping him from playing. Yeah, and it's very important.
And
but, I mean.
But the doctors are saying he can play.
Right, okay. And the striking thing about Peyton, and Jeff alluded to it, this has all come rather suddenly. When I covered his last game in January 2011. When he walked off the field, he was playing as well as he ever had.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like there had been this Joe Montana gradual step down where it was, you know, he didn't have players around him the last year to allow him to play at the level he had before, but he himself carried that team to 10-6 in the playoffs and was playing at a very high level. There was no indication of this.
When he walked off that field, was there indications that he had neck problems at that point?
There had been a few reports that season that there were neck issues, and I believe he had had a surgery of some kind that they sort of put out was very preventative, very minor, but there was no indication that something like this was coming. There were reports that there had been an issue, but nothing like this level.
The neck is completely different. I mean, Logs, you had a lot of injuries, but you never had one where the doctor said you got to quit or you're never going to be able to play again. But you knew that your quality of life was going to deteriorate if you kept playing.
Yeah.
I guess that's my
After
point.
Surgery number
They're talking about four neck nine. Surgeries in 2 years, and now the Colts are saying that another procedure to clear out bone spurs is inevitable.
Yeah, but
it's inevitable. At what point do you realize?
For him, it'll be when somebody says
you
cannot.
Can't play. I just don't – I mean, listen, Peyton Manning, what makes part of him as great as he is the competitive nature of wanting – I mean, let's think about Peyton Manning. He has been the best quarterback for a long time. And you find out about a guy when he's the best of what how he will prepare the following year to continue to be the best. Because getting to be the best is one thing. Staying at that level, it takes – and so he has proven that he has this competitive nature inside of him of self-drive that he does it for more than the money or the accolades or whatever. There's some internal thing inside of him that wants to be great. And I don't think that goes away. And I think even more now – that he wants to end it on his terms, and it's probably even driving him greater.
And I'm it's a 24/7, 365 obsession with him. I mean, I could talk for hours about the way, you know, what things I saw from him in terms of the off-season preparation, in terms of almost anal, you know, things he would do to prepare on April 8th every year, do the exact same thing. You know, so it's way beyond money. It's, I mean, this is how this guy's.
Well, I agree,
wired.
But at some point he can't play anymore.
Right. No,
and maybe that's now.
It might be now.
Yeah, and maybe that's now.
But the doctors are telling him he can't.
Except from reports, his body is telling him he can't because he can't throw the ball.
No.
To him, you have to add yet to that because he clearly believes that.
It's tough to doubt the guy. I'm just saying at some point, when you see the number of surgeries he's had and the Colts saying it's inevitable he needs more to clear out bone spurs, you start thinking.
I don't believe anything. Why? I don't believe anything the Colts are saying.
Yeah, but Polian's gone.
No. I don't. Oh, that came from Polian?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that
I don't believe anything the Colts are saying right now because Jim Irsay is playing a media messaging PR game right now because he knows his franchise is so tied to Peyton Manning, and he knows he takes a chance of alienating a large portion of his fan base if he doesn't handle Peyton correctly.
I completely agree with that.
All right,
I don't believe anything he says.
We need a break for news at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back with more Jaguars This Week. Presented by Aetna. After this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back. Jaguars This Week continues on Jaguars Radio. Live from Everbank Field, presented by Aetna. And we've got Lee out in Ponte Vedra with a thought on Peyton Manning. Hello, Lee. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening. Have some thoughts and appreciate your comments. First of all, I am so impressed with the coaching staff that has been hired. I don't know, from the outside looking in, maybe the one of the best staffs in the NFL. Second thing is, what a positive for a president of non-football operations to, you know, energize and put us on the map. Those are two thoughts. The last one is regarding Peyton Manning. Totally respect him. I would like to see him step down as a player and be a coach.
No, that ain't going to happen.
I think he would be a terrific coach.
He's not coaching.
Thank you, Lee, but that ain't happening.
Yeah, $242 million is according to, what would you say, Joe?
Wiki Answers.
Yeah, it's enough money. You don't have to go through the coaching.
Plus,
I don't think he'd be a very good coach, but that's just me.
You would know better than anyone in this room.
Well, and not because he wouldn't be capable. I think he would fall into that trap that some great players do. It's very hard, I think, sometimes for a great player to coach good players because they don't really grasp that they can't do it. And that nobody's going to come in and work as hard as you would like them to.
So here's the big big question.
Can we just rewind? Did we tape our commercial break conversation about Peyton Manning? We can just run
that. Sure.
That was the best segment we had.
That was my next.
In about 6 months.
And that's why I wanted to bring this up. Does this team take a look at Peyton Manning, and should they?
I think Tony had the strongest opinion on this.
I would.
He's all fired up about it.
I would look at it.
There would be a lot of pros. There would be
I can give a lot of pros. And this has nothing to do with Blaine Gabbert and worries in his progression or anything like that. I would look at him for multiple reasons. One, if what the report is true, that he would be willing to come to a franchise with an incentive-laden contract so you're not out a bunch of guaranteed money in your – because you don't know his health.
Right, you cannot mortgage your future.
You can't mortgage your future with Peyton Manning because of health reasons. But if you can set up the right contract and you have a low to medium risk with a off-the-charts return.
Off-the-charts return.
If he's healthy. because the day you sign him, whoever signs him, so let's say it's Jacksonville, the number of 18 jerseys that would be sold, you are the lead story on ESPN, you are the lead story on the NFL Network until your first game, you have arguably the best quarterback to ever lace up cleats. You can make that argument, whether he is or not, who knows, but he's top five.
You might solve your tarp issue.
Team Teal might have to go,
Team Teal would be, you know.
Team 18.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it. I just think there's so many positives. He brings, think of Blaine Gabbert. Okay, let's say it's only a 2 or 3 year deal that Peyton is, because he is 36. You have Blaine Gabbert learn from how to prepare for a game and to be a quarterback for one of the best quarterbacks ever. There's a lot of positive. Now, the downside is he can't play and it becomes a distraction because of an injury,
and
which is
real. It
becomes
a weekly watch like it was for the Colts this past year.
And it becomes a distraction and it takes away from your team, and that's a downside.
I think, though, as much
that's
as
your biggest
wants
risk.
To play, I think there will come a point, if it happens, if he realizes it ain't going to happen,
walks away,
he would get away very quickly. And now, obviously, it hasn't come yet. But I think, he would not be a guy who's going to hold on in the face of incredible evidence to the contrary.
Jeff, would you look at him if you were?
I think if you were the owner,
you have to consider it.
I mean, I think you have to.
I would. Yeah, I'd do my due diligence. That is for sure.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, though, John, because, you know, all the media reports are talking Redskins, because we know what Dan Snyder likes to do, the Jets. Where would Peyton Manning like to play?
Well, I think he wants to play.
What would be his top three choices if you were?
I think deep down he would have three choices: Tennessee, Jacksonville, and Houston. The more chances he would get, and if there was some team playing the Colts five times, that's where he would go. And it's not that, I mean, once this all settles and you're 5 years down the road, Peyton Manning will be a Colt for life.
Absolutely.
And
sure.
All this stuff as with Ursay, just like in 4 or 5 years, Favre will be a Packer for life. That'll all go away. But for right now, the competitive fire, you know, I think you guys would be the same way. If he has a chance to go show somebody they're wrong in this situation, he is going to want to go back and show Jim Ursay, show whoever the Colts. He will make up somebody who has been against him.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because when Brett Favre was leaving Green Bay, where did he want to go?
Minnesota.
Sure.
I mean, the ultimate competitors want to show you.
Right. And I think a lot about this would appeal to Peyton. The new, the growing, the going somewhere to sort of prove to somebody that they're wrong, you know, being a part of that would appeal to him. If it was presented properly, we're obviously a long way from that, and it probably won't happen. But I think there would be elements of that that would appeal to him.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. James is in West Liberty, Kentucky. Hello, James. Welcome to the show.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
Good. Awesome. I'm working, so I'll make this short and sweet. I know the wide receiver list that's going to be free agents, we don't know because of re-signings and tags that can still happen, and the defensive end as well. Who do you think, pending on that, would be the best fit in Jacksonville, pending, the tags and re-signings? And I'll take the question out there.
I'll take Mario Williams, Vincent Jackson, and Dwayne Bowe. Just put those three guys on the team, and we're fine.
arguments? To start with the first one.
Forget the money.
Mario Williams.
He's the best defensive end out there.
He would be one of the greatest defensive end free agent acquisitions that you could get. He's a 4-3 guy. The Texans have made that switch to a 3-4.
And the Texans are in a bind because
they're in a little bit of a pinch.
And they got Arian Foster who's up at the same time.
It's a very rare situation they're going into to have a guy out there like that where they happen to have switched defenses. 99 times out of 100, a guy like this does not hit free agency.
And it's People are expecting that he will. They got cap concerns. Right. I don't want to say issues.
Well, they got cap issues because Arian Foster is going to need.
And Chris Myers, their Pro Bowl center.
Yeah, they got a bunch of guys coming up.
Yeah. But they're not in the same scenario as the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No.
That's major cap issues.
From Houston's perspective, Mario's been hurt a lot, too. So from their perspective, you can see why he would be the odd man out. That they've invested a lot of time, and it's time to move on because of all the issues we've talked about.
Well, and if you look at Connor Barwin and then the young rookie that
Brooks Reed, who
had a very successful rookie season, that they probably are feeling okay about their outside pass rate.
I would be if I were them.
And Jeff, Mario Williams is not a outside linebacker in a 3-4.
No, he's not.
He's just not.
No, he's not. That's why I was shocked when they decided that they were going to convert to a 3-4. But, hey, with Wade Phelps, it worked.
You do have to say this, though. He had 5 sacks in, what, 6 games before he got hurt?
Oh, he was getting numbers.
He's a pass rusher.
And he's more than just a sack guy.
They used him. Yeah.
But he is a 4-3 defensive end.
No, I'm just saying he did have some success
when
they put him in.
Yes, you're right.
But they got – what did they get from Reed and Barwin, 16, 17 sacks?
Barwin, I think, had 11 or 12.
And he had 12.5, and the other guy had
Reed
7.
Reed had seven or eight.
Yeah. So they don't need him. And no, with all those other guys.
They're number one, number two defense in the NFL without him.
I mean, he's an elite player.
And he's a true 4-3 guy. Correct?
Got to look at him. Yeah, and, true 4-3 guy.
And clearing him off your cap allows you to sign the guys like Foster.
That fit your
and
system.
Meyer, yeah. Well, and their offensive line, you've said, was the best offensive line in football. And the center had something to do with that. What, 3 Pro Bowls for him?
So, very good. Yeah. And a very good left tackle.
Yeah, you can't sell that out.
And I'm trying to think of the name of the game, Tony, and I wanted to tell you to watch that game. At the very end of the year, I watched Houston play, and their left tackle had a phenomenal game.
Dwayne Brown?
Yes.
And he's up next year. He's up. And
they're going to want to keep him.
Yeah, so you'll have cap problems. So, yeah, Mario's going to hit it, but it's going to cost you a Julius Peppers kind of contract.
Sure.
Where do Averill and Robert Mathis fit in for you guys? You guys play.
Averill I like just because he's younger.
He's local.
He's a local guy. He's got great motor. Mathis, I would have concerns for because he fit the style of defense that the Colts play.
I would share the same concerns.
And so I don't.
Could Mathis play in a 3-4? Could Mathis be an outside backer?
Mathis is a third down passer.
Right.
Yeah, he could be. He could be a 3-4. I mean, but you'd have to know how to kind of protect him, right?
But Tony Dungy's philosophy on Mathis was always, he could go somewhere and play a 3-4. They even talked about early in Mathis's career in Indy moving him to linebacker there because of his size. But what he did best was put his hand on the ground and go after the quarterback. You can't take that away from him.
In a 4-3, if he flipped sides, in other words, he always went away from the tight end, open side, and then was able to kick out outside the tight end instead of playing head up on him, he's dynamite. I mean, he's a dynamite player.
Okay, go ahead.
We've got to get this break in. We'll come back. This is Jaguars This Week on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Jaguars This Week. About 5.5 minutes left in the program. We just, kind of got off target there and talked about two players in particular. The receiving position is the one that most people who are listening want to hear about.
Absolutely.
And the question mark is between now and the time that free agency opens, a lot of these big-name receivers, Vincent Jackson, Dwayne Bowe, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, I mean, they could be taken off the market by their teams.
Yeah, I think that's what I talked to Gene Smith earlier this week for a story that will run tomorrow. And it's basically what
on
Jaguars.com, and that's kind of the concern. Obviously, is that you don't know. We have a month left, and he didn't mention anybody specifically, of course, because it doesn't serve him. But DeSean Jackson, it appears will be franchised, and many of these other guys. That's always the problem with free agency: is if you have a franchise guy out there, a guy who can change your team, then why isn't the other team signing? So that's going to be a factor
of cap,
for receivers.
Sometimes it's cap space.
Right. But if they're that elite franchise-changing guy, they're going to figure out a way to keep him. Usually.
Yeah, the biggest question is what is the list going to be?
Sure. And I don't – that's why it's so hard to speculate on at this point is because with 4 weeks out, you just don't know.
No, you don't. You don't. And it could change.
But who do you like?
It could change
the
day
before it opens. Receivers out there, if there's one that you could put your finger on and say, I'd like to have him.
I like a lot of them. I like Vincent Jackson, but I mean, concerns about the DUI and if he has another incident, what would happen from a league standpoint?
Yeah, he has 2 DUIs.
The last one was most recent was 2 years ago.
One more is a year suspension. He had 4-game suspension last time.
Jared Allen was in the same scenario.
Jared Allen was the same scenario, and it's worked out beautifully for Minnesota. But it's a,
but it was a huge risk.
Huge risk, but you can also, but you can structure the contract that it would be voidable if you got a DUI and was, I mean, you could protect yourself, but it's a real risk. It's a real issue.
Sure. I like Dwayne Bowe. You know, I think he's a big, you know, guy that can stretch the field. He's got big playability, and I think you have to take into account that he has not had exactly the greatest quarterback in the world to be as productive as he could be.
But why would Kansas City let him go? Because Brian made
They've got a lot of cap room.
Well, maybe they don't have the quarterback to get him the ball yet.
Okay. I'll take him.
When you have a very talented wide receiver, if you don't have an arm that can get it to him, how much value does the receiver really have?
It's a really good point. Remember, he had the 4-game suspension for, was it personal conduct? I'm not sure, but he had a 4-game suspension, and there's some questions about his maturity level.
Well, I mean, there were
concerns.
You're
going to have that about a lot of guys.
I mean, you could talk about that. I mean, Chris Carter had that going on in his career, and he turned out okay. There were other guys. I'm trying to think of the guy that bounced around from New England to Miami to anyway. I mean, it's happened before. A lot of guys are young and immature. And then once they mature, all of a sudden you're like, wow. You know, Jared Allen's a perfect example. I mean, like Tony had mentioned. So,
you know, he was, by the way, a sixth-round draft choice by Kansas City out of Idaho to be a long snapper. That was a hell of a job as scouting.
It's a phenomenal job. You know, but I mean, I like a lot of the wide receivers. I mean, I like Pierre Garçon because I think the guy's got, you know, take the top off of a defense, big play ability.
DeSean Jackson.
And he's young and he's an ascending player.
He can also really run after the catch once the ball is
absolutely
in his hand.
Marcus Colston.
He does have drop issues.
You know,
or is he too much of a possession guy that fits in their scheme?
I think the priority for this team has to be somebody that can do things with the ball once they get it in their hands, and then a wide receiver that can take the top off the defense.
What do you guys think of Manningham?
I like Manningham.
Number two.
You know, but I mean, you'd love to have a guy like Manningham, but I mean, to me, a true number one is somebody that has elite speed that can get down the field and make big-time plays.
Hey, Brian, just go back to your Dwayne Bowe. He was suspended in 2010 for 4 games.
It was
because of a PED. Performance enhancing drug. But it was okay. He said it wasn't a steroid. It was a diuretic to help him lose weight. But same issue.
Yeah.
Popped one more time. That's a year suspension, just like the Vincent Jackson.
The other thing is that the receivers now, these top guys are going to cost you $10 million a year.
Yeah, but everybody does. That's just the game.
Yeah. That's the game for the big guys.
Everyone but the radio guys.
Yeah. It's going to cost you a lot of money to bring them in, baby. The receivers, that is.
Yeah.
Joe, your contract done yet? They better save a little cap room
soon.
For you. Yeah, save a little cap room.
They're going to transition, baby. Joe, not use the franchise.
How long has it been since the transition tag went away?
Yeah, I think thing, though, that we can be rest assured, in order to stick to the philosophy that works in the National Football League, which is drafting the best player you possibly can, you have to fill your holes in free agency.
Right.
I think this team will do that and then draft the best player that they can find in the college level.
Which is why it's so tough to talk draft right now.
Way too early for that.
What are we going to talk about next week?
Draft talk.
Draft.
Good night, everybody.